Okay, it's December 17th, 1998. We're interviewing Nicholas Anderson at Paul's Bow. First, could you tell us when you were born and where you were born?
Born in 1918 in my town is gone now. They abandoned it many years ago. It was a mining town called Latouche, Alaska. Have you heard of that name?
I haven't. Where was that?
It's across from Valdez, Montagu Island. You've heard of Montagu?
Yes, yes.
But that old town is gone now. I have never been there, but my children have been there to see where I was born. But he said there's nothing left there, nothing but some sheet metal from the roofs, all rusty ones.
So did you move from Latouche to Fognac then?
Yeah, I was just a baby then, I guess. I don't even remember him. Yeah, we moved to Fognac. I don't know why. There was no work there. My father was a carpenter and a boat builder.
What was your father's name?
Nicholas Anderson.
Oh, so you're a junior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what was your mother's name?
Jenny Demidoff. You remember that name?
Demidoff?
Yeah. I believe there's another Demidoff lives up there in the Nilchik, close to Kenai. You know that town, the Nilchik.
Right. Yes. There's quite a few people there that are related to Fognac people.
I guess. Yeah.
Was your mother related to Ralph Demidoff?
They were brother and sister.
I see. And how many people were in your family? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Well, I have two sisters. One lives in Bellingham, and the younger one lives in Everett. I had two brothers, but they're both gone now. One died in the on a boat accident, and my older brother, he went with a heart attack.
What were your brother's names?
Bill.
Bill?
Yeah. And the younger one who died in the boat, his name was John.
What year did you leave a Fognac?
When did I leave? Well, I left several times. When I was 17, I left home, and I trapped for mink up there in the Kuskokwim River with an older man. He was an old expert trapper. Then I got so homesick. After a year, I went back home, and then I stuck around for a while, and I left again. Let's see, I can't remember too well, you know. I had too many strokes. Let's see, where did I go? Oh, I fished most around Alaska and Bristol Bay. And Chicnik area, you name it, I've been everywhere. Then later I went to, when they started building that Navy base, I was there when they started it, and I stayed there for 2 years. Then while I was there, I got married. Then I did leave home. Came down here, lived in Bellingham for a while. Then I went back up to Kodiak. I met my second wife there. We lived there for 12 years. Then when she retired from her work, we came back here because she's from Poulsbo. So I haven't left since. Of course, I go up there every once in a while.
Yeah.
I even go up to, you know where Nome is?
Sure.
I hate that place. I got stuck there because we were stuck there for a week. There was an eruption there across from Anchorage. Mm-hmm. And when they got back to Anchorage, they couldn't take their plane into the tarmac. They couldn't go in there. They had to tow it in there before they covered all those engines, you know. Then when we got to my daughter's home, we had to move the ashes away from to get in the door. Ashes from the volcano, you know. And her roof was green, but when we got back, it was all white, full of ice, full of ashes. And I couldn't wait to get away from there, too. I was afraid of them volcanoes. I came back home.
Now, did you go to school in Afognak?
Yeah. Eighth grade, that's as far as I've ever gone. I never had a chance. My mother wouldn't leave my home to go out here to work or something, you know, like other boys did. Most of the people from the Afognak kids, they went to school in Sitka and Wrangell, and some even went to Juneau. But I never did.
Do you remember any of your teachers?
My what?
Teachers.
Teachers? Yeah, she died a couple, 3 years ago up down there in Georgia, I think. She used to be a Sheely. Enola.
Enola.
Yeah, she was pretty old then. Before that, I had several other teachers from down here somewhere. Miriam was one. Another one was Watt, W-A-T-T. And let's see. Oh, Marion's husband was my teacher, too. That's where I learned carpentry. From then on, I came down here to Seattle. I worked in the building boats, you know, there in, what do you call that, Norwegian town?
Ballard?
Ballard, yeah. I worked there and I learned how to build boats there. I even build boats here.
You do? Yeah.
Until I got sick.
Where did you live in Afognak? Can you recall?
Well, right near the cemetery. I understand now the storms have destroyed it, my old home. It was a two-story house. Had four bedrooms. Maybe you remember our old home, right in front of the cemetery, between the cemetery and the church.
I think I've seen a house there. I don't.
Yeah, that's where I lived. And then later, after I got married, I moved to another little house further down south. But it was too small. I had two kids at that time. I had to leave, and I worked at the sawmill there for a while. I was a sawyer for about a year, I guess, and my wife didn't like it there, so we left there too.
What's that at? Valleys?
Valley. Dell, yeah. I understand there's somebody still living there.
I don't know.
I guess people have moved everywhere up there. Whale Island, you know, that big island there, the mountain on it. You remember it, across from Fogner. That used to be a fox farm when I was a kid. There are thousands of foxes in there. But the original owner, he drowned in one of those little lakes back there somewhere. Went through the ice. But he was a huge man. He was about 6'6". He weighed over 300 pounds. Mm. But his partner was much lighter. He didn't go through the ice, but he tried to save this big man, but they couldn't. He was too heavy.
Do you remember their names?
His name?
Yeah.
Parker, Dr. Parker. Oh. He was a doctor for animals, what do you call him?
Veterinarian.
Veterinarian, yes.
So Dr. Parker was the large man?
Yeah, he was a huge man.
I've heard that he sometimes treated people in a Fognak who needed help.
Like us animals, you know. He was a good doctor, though, for people, too. He used to give us flu shots. I don't understand them days. Of course, they didn't know as much as they do now, of course. They used the same needle.
Oh.
Just take like a pen, you know, take some ink, poke another guy. But Jiminy, nowadays they have to change the needle every time, you know.
So what do you remember about how the village was laid out and who lived in different places?
I think they were mostly what they call them, like the army had outposts. For the natives, them days, they used to have wars, you know, with other Aleuts and Indians from Alaska across the towards Seward and back. And they used to go in those canoes in them days, that I understand. They used to kill each other. And then they'd marry each other, too, you know. That's my history I've heard.
So do you remember the different parts of Fognak, Galiut Town?
Oh, yeah, that's what they called our area. Uh-huh. But the other side was called a Russian name, I forget.
Derevnia?
Huh?
Derevnia?
Derevnia, da, yeah, da. They were upper than we were, because we were on the Aleut side. I think we were just as smart as they were, though. Weren't we?
So did people get along well from both sides of the village?
Yeah, usually, yeah.
What is the most pleasant thing you remember about the village?
Like you say, what was most fun?
Yeah.
What they called it, then, they laptu. That's playing ball, you know. And then they had another ball game, they called it garatki. You line up tin cans on one side and over there the other. People that play against them, they had theirs too. And we throw those rocks, I mean those cans with a stick, you know. Depending how many you hit. And they had squared it off there with on the ground. If you go past that line, you lose 1 point. if you pass, don't pass that line, two of them, you lost 2 points. That was a funny game. Sometimes they hit each other in the legs, you know.
Did you speak Russian in the village?
Yes. I used to play, speak quite well because I was a choir boy. I learned most of that from the priest. He spoke to me in Russian all the time. That's how I learned, I guess. I even learned how to read his Slavonic Bible. Couldn't understand a word he said, though.
Was that Father Gerasim?
Father Gerasim, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they had several priests there. They just stay for a little while, and then I guess they got tired of living up there. They'd go back. Usually they were from New York or San Francisco. But they'd stay there about a year, and then they'd leave. Then another one would come. Some of them were nice old men. They liked to live there because they ate mostly off the ground, off the land, you know. When the tide goes out, like one priest used to say, when the tide goes out, the table is set. You get a lot of clams, you know, and octopus and icon. I think they call them icons, bedarkas. Those little black things that stuck on the rocks.
Oh, ohidaks.
Huh? Ohidaks. Ohidak, yeah. Yeah. Some of them are huge, depending how far out the tide went, you know, on the main low water. There's big, huge one there. Some of them weigh a pound. You ever see them?
I haven't seen that big of ones, no.
Yeah, they're huge. Sometimes in the storms, the waves bring them ashore.
Well, how important was the church to the community?
Pardon me?
How important was the church?
Church?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I was very much concerned about the church. I even kind of worry about it now. I heard that it's halfway in the water now on high tide. You know, after the tidal wave.
It's still pretty dry. We were in it last summer.
Were you?
Yes.
It's still standing, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, in one of those old Kodiak papers I saw the picture of my old home. Part of it was down. It, because it was right next to the beach, you know. And of course, during the tidal wave, or the earthquake, the earth, the ground got lower, you know. It sank a little bit. I think it was 7 feet.
Now, what was it like with your job as the choir boy?
Oh, my gosh. Follow the priest around with his candle or his sling. I called it a sling. I think it slings that smoke, you know. Mm-hmm. I keep that going. I was so proud to be that because I wore a uniform. There's several of us boys were choir boys. Frank Sheratine was one. Of course, he'd been gone for many years now. And also Peter Nelson, you remember him?
I know of him.
He's about 86, I think, or 85. But I understand he lost some of his toes from diabetes.
Did you speak Aleut at all?
I can still do. I talk to my sister once in a while in Bellingham. There we speak in English, Aleut.
Yeah. So you speak three languages.
Yeah. A lot of people there in the Falkneck, you know, of course, like me, were all Aleuts. They spoke mostly Aleut. Even some of the white men that came there that lived, they're Norwegians, they learned how to speak too. Because they married the natives up there too, you know.
How did your mother end up going up to Prince William Sound area or Latouche from Afognak?
What did I do?
How did your mother end up moving to Latouche where you were born? Your mother was
There was a mine there. Then my father worked in the copper mine. They say that one side, that old mine now is all green. You could look up there, it was kind of blue. I guess the copper oozes out, you know, when it rains or something like that. I never did see it.
But your mother was from Afognak originally?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So had your father lived in Afognak before moving up to Latouche?
Well, no, I think he lived in Euganek.
I see.
There used to be a village in Euganek Bay. They still call it Village Islands. Mm-hmm. But most of the people, now the white people, went up there. They looted all the goodies, you know, like the Aleut little
lamps.
Lamps, mm-hmm. Yeah. They dug them all up. I guess it's pretty bare there now.
Which other villages did you interact with most when you lived in Afognak?
Usually Yosinki, because mm-hmm. It's not too far away. It's only about, I think it was 15 or 16 miles away. We knew everybody, each other. Karluk, too. Of course, that was a rough place to go, because going across Shelikov Strait, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to use outboard motors if they start.
You weren't one of the people that used to row between Afognak and Karluk. I heard that some people rowed dories between
those two. Yeah, I never did, but in those days, people from Karluk would come to Afognak or go to Yosinki or Kodiak to look for a wife. They found each other, too.
You had mentioned Dr. Parker before. Was there anyone else in the village that was concerned with health care, or what would happen if someone got sick?
Well, once in a while there was a what we called a roving nurse. Very seldom, though, because there was no airplanes them days. They had to come by a mail boat, or who happened to be in town, Kodiak, and come with them in their boat. Otherwise, nobody came, you know.
Had you heard any stories about the flu epidemic in Afognak, and probably the year you were born, I guess, but I thought maybe you heard
it. That was before my time, yeah. No, I don't remember that. It was mostly down here, that the epidemic. A lot of people died in those days. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember anyone who was a strong leader in the village, who had the most influence?
The chief. It's see, who was the chief now? Well, they didn't call him a chief. They were they called him Chief in Carlock. Mm-hmm. His name was Alex Brown. That's the man that loved to dance. Every time he came to Fog Neck, he said, let's start a dance so we could have some fun. We had a dance hall there, you know.
So was there a chief in a Fog Neck?
What?
A chief in a Fog Neck, too?
They didn't call him a chief. They called him, let's see. I was going to say it in Elliot, but I can't remember that name. Anyway, he was the boss, like a mayor, you know. Mm-hmm. What he said, we did. He's a wise man, they say, called him.
Do you remember who that was? What his name was?
No, there were several, I guess. I can't remember their names. You know, her people, you know, are big families. Your grandfather, you remember? You don't remember him, though. You remember Fred, though. Lawrence. Lawrence, he died there in Port Lyons. And then before that, he had another brother. His name was Lars. He died in a fire there in a Fog Neck. He and one of the Toshok boys died in a fire in a house. You remember... Crazy Toshwak. He killed quite a few people, you know. Murderer. John Toshwak. He killed his own son up there in Litnik Bay with a fish pew. You know what a fish pew is? It's a pole with a little needle on the end. What we used to use it to move salmon. From the skiff up to a cannery boat, he speared his own son with that thing. A big, long, like a nail on the end of that pole, poked him 3-4 times.
What happened to him?
Huh?
What happened to him?
He was killed himself. You know, that crazy, I was to be afraid of him too, but he kind of liked me. He used to make a lot of homebrew. And then he says, come on, I'll give you a drink. Kind of scared to go in his house. Because he had pistols all over that, 3-4 pistols. Handy, you know. And I guess after I left there, while I lived in Kodiak, He got crazy in the dance. He started using his pistol in there, shooting up in the ceiling. Those people were so scared. All the ladies, the women, took off. And they were drinking, of course. And they beat him up. And the next day, one of the neighbors, an older man, he never didn't go to that dance, but he walked down there to the beach. He saw a body laying there by his house. He went and looked. That was John Toshwell. They kind of shook him and thought he was asleep. He was dead. And then the marshal at that time, oh, before he was killed, he said, if somebody gets rid of him, I'll buy him the best cigar. That was Marshall's name. I forgot his name now.
Paul Herring?
Paul Herring, yeah, Paul Herring.
So that was a way of distributing justice.
Yeah, yeah. He used to go around to all the villages every once in a while to check on people, I guess, on somebody's fishing boat.
Do you remember hearing any stories or legends of little people or Orlocks?
Orlok?
Yeah. Orlok, the hairy men.
Small men.
There are some stories about little people and about hairy men that were maybe runaways from earlier times. Did you know
any of those? Oh, one of those, we were always afraid of it when we were kids. Our mother would tell us, don't go out after it's dark. What the heck did they call him in Aleut?
Orlok?
Huh?
Orlok?
Something like that, yeah. Well, yeah, he was a wild man, I guess they said he was. And we used to like to go there skate in the wintertime, you know. Usually after school, we had to go out there and skate. And Dad would tell us, don't stay out there until after 9 o'clock. If you don't leave there, that, what do you call it, Orlok? He'll get you. And we made sure we left there. We ran back home.
Do you remember any stories about little people?
Yeah. And then there was another story going around there, too. They call them an Aleut. They were lived down there on Elitek, somewhere around that area. They called them Matankat. That means, in Aleut, it means they're half-nude, you know. They don't wear too many clothes in the summertime. I guess like those savages in Amazon. Mm. But they were not the Amazon. How do you call it? They weren't Amazons. They were smaller people. Mm-hmm.
Well, Shauna, can you think of anything you'd like to ask?
Boy, if her grandfather was still around, he'd tell all kinds of stories. He used to tell us a lot of his time, too. But he lived a long time, you know, a phony. Real nice man. He had a couple brothers, too, I guess. One was Malutin, up there in the Fog Neck. And then they had one in Kodiak. I forgot his name, though. Real nice people, those Lukins. There was many Lukins, you know. But the old man had three or four sons. And they, those boys had their own families, too. One of them, you.
Do you remember any of the stories that he told?
I can't remember how to tell you in Aleut. He and I used to talk Aleut all the time. He used to fish with Hans Olsen. Even Hans, Norwegian, he learned how to talk that language too. We lived mostly, what do you call it, subsistence life. Mm-hmm. We shot a lot of ducks and some people liked seal meat, but I never did. Make me sick. I remember it was older Aleut people used to save the stomach, you know. And part of the gut, they make a oil thing that they kept in their own seal oil. They put in that stomach. Two or three of them hanging in his shed back there, something. Because some of those people ate a lot of oil. usually lived on salmon and put a lot of oil in it. I don't see it anymore. Maybe some do in Carlick. You ever see those little containers? They're stomachs from a seal. They look like a big balloon.
Oh, I have seen one, yes. What other foods do you remember?
Well, a lot of salmon and ducks and in those days there was a lot of cod, you know, codfish. Yeah. Understand now there isn't any. Too many commercial fishermen. They kill them off on those drags, you know. Mm-hmm. Just like here, when I first came here, I used to go out there and get 15. They were allowed to get 15 codfish. I'd get them usually in about half an hour. Then later on, they opened the season to the commercial people. They went out there and they cleaned them all out. Now we can't even get one. Now they were working on these other big clams. What do you call those? Big things that are about that big around. You have to dig deep, you know, they're about 3 feet. What do you call those big clams?
Horse clams?
Mm. No, they're bigger than the horse clam. Mm. Gooey duck.
Yeah.
They have a big neck sticking out. It's about that big around, you know. You could see the end sticking out. And if you don't disturb him, he'll go right down. Then you have to dig 3 feet.
Hmm. Do you remember gardens?
Huh?
Do you remember gardens in Afognak?
Oh, everyone had one. Uh-huh. Oh, it smokes, there's gardens everywhere. They grew a lot of potatoes and rutabagas, strawberries. And even beets, which I hate. But we had to get all the weed out of there. Big, I remember our garden was about 75 feet long. We had to clean that up, take a whole week to get the weeds out. And believe it or not, sometimes up there it gets pretty hot. Well, in those days they called it hot. At 60 it was hot. Mm-hmm. But down here last summer, I think it was about 3 days, it was 92 degrees here. I couldn't even go outside. Too hot.
Do you remember a lot of music and dances in Afognak?
Gas station?
No, dances. I heard that a lot of people played musical instruments.
Yeah, I was one of them.
What did you play?
I played piano, accordion, guitar, violin. There was another family there, lived across from Afognak, where they're digging now for those old things, old village or something. That family lived there. They were Russian people. Their name was
Nekrasov.
Nekrasov. Mm-hmm. They were all musicians, the whole family. Even the old man and the old lady, too. I used to get a kick out of her. She played a mandolin. Her hand would go so fast. But those two or three boys, they were... The one, he drowned there in Kodiak, I believe. He used to play the... In those days, they called them fiddles. Mm-hmm. Boy, he was good at it. And later on, of course, everybody else played. Remember Teddy Sheratine? He died here about a year ago or so of the same problem that I have with his heart. He played banjo. Boy, he was an expert on that thing. I reminisce those days when I was younger. Everybody went to the dance, you know, even the older people. Something to do, you know.
Well, it sounds like it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was, yeah. One lady that used to like to dance too, they were the Larsen boys. Their father was a Norwegian. She died here about 2 or 3 months ago. She died over here in Vancouver. Laura, she was married to a guy. She used to be married to Del Valle. That's Laura. And then later they divorced and he married Freeman from here. They used to work in Kukak, you know where that is.
Right.
That over little cannery there.
Over on the mainland.
Yeah.
Did you ever cross over to the mainland from a Afognak across the strait?
She was an outboard motor. I used to go across there to set traps for otter. Let's see, land otter. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I couldn't get over there. I'd lose my traps. The weather was so bad, couldn't even leave the beach, you know. Mm-hmm.
Would this be like in the 1930s?
Yeah, back in the 30s, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are lost up there, going across there.
Did you know any people that lived in the villages that were over in that, on the mainland side?
Well, near Chignik, you know where that is. Mm-hmm. There's one now lives in Anchorage, his name was Sanguinetti, you remember him?
I've seen the name, yes.
He and I used to be, I was a boatman, you know. I used to take care of that boat shop in Navy Base. It was owned by a civilian. And Sanguinetti got a job there too one time. And during those days, there was many strikes, you know. We couldn't get too much lumber from here. And wait and wait, wait till the strike goes. Sometimes it didn't go away. And I'd go scrounge around all over the village and all over the town, scrounging for lumber to repair somebody's fishing boat. Then the Sanguinetti, he started calling me a pugook. You know what that means? You're scrounging, you know. Every time he sees me now, he's like, hey, pugook. He got a good job later on, though. He got a good job at the Native Hospital. He's a maintenance man.
Oh. So was he in Kodiak or in Afognak?
Huh?
Did he live in Kodiak or Afognak?
Kodiak. Originally from Chignik. Uh-huh. Then he had another brother, his name was Frankie. He was good for nothing.
You know, I heard stories about my grandpa, Phony, rowing to the mainland. Did you ever?
You bet, yeah. And your grandfather had a fox farm, too. On the other side of Kodiak Island, it called it the Noisy Island. You probably heard of them. It's right near Uganek Cape Uganek, mm-hmm. on the outside there. He had foxes there. I think there's still some. still some foxes living there, you know, still around. It's a large island, though.
There's quite a few still around a fog neck. When we were out there last year, we saw some down on the beach.
Some what?
Fox.
I imagine there is now, Bear, too, I suppose, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Those days, too, there were so many bear. My dad and my brothers used to have a fishing camp on Cape Uganic, gill netting. And there's bears up there on the mountain that graze like cows, dozens of them. There's patches of snow up there, you know. They'd go in there and stay away from the mosquitoes. Stay away from them. And they'd rob us, too. We had ham and bacon, you know, on our roof. Under our roof, what do you call that, eaves. One night, one bear came in there and made a heck of a noise. And my brother had a big dog. It was a German shepherd in the house. He started to bark. My brother said, uh-oh, there's... He knew, of course, what he was. But that same morning we went out there to make breakfast, there was no bacon. But they came after that again, every other night or so. Finally we got so tired of it, we shot him. Then what to do with that carcass? It must have weighed 400 or 500 pounds, you know. We were going to bury him, but... so rocky, he couldn't dig. Then I told my brother, we'll get a rope from that cannery boat, we'll take it ashore, and we'll have it towed out. Our cabin was close to the beach. So we did that. He dragged it out in the ocean and let him go. We were glad to do that, you know. But after that, some more came. And we captured some young bear. I told them, no, we shot the mother first because it was so vicious. Every time we go near them, they'd try to attack us, you know. So I had to shoot her. Now, what to do with those two babies? Shall I kill them too? No, I better not. Maybe we'll give them to the cannery captain. So he says, just... next time I come, I'll bring somebody who'll take those bears from you. And I told him, you have to give us something for it. Now he brought somebody. They take both of them. He gave us $100 a piece for them. But I lost a couple of shirts too, because I grab them, you know, they tore me all up, even my skin.
Well, is there anything I didn't ask you that you might want to tell us about?
Well, you know, those days we didn't make much money. If we made $2,000 in the summertime, we were rich. But nowadays it's a little bit in the bucket. You know, like some of those, my grandson, you know, he just graduated from college in Kansas City, a computer man. They offered him a job there before he left. After he graduated, they offered him $40,000 a year. My grandson said, oh, no, that's not enough. I'll make double that in Alaska. So he left there, he drove his car here, stayed here a couple of days, then he drove back up to Alaska. He got a job right away there for $76,000 a year. He worked for the Native Corporation.
For Cook Inlet?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a rich corporation, you know. Well, like I said, here, my own, this one here, they just sent me a check today. I was surprised I got that much. I belong to two corporations. One is Kodiak. This is a Faulkner, see?
Yeah. So you belong to...
Cognac.
Yeah.
They don't give us as much as this one does.
There's going to be a check coming out next month from Cognac.
Is it?
Should
be. Oh, yeah, that's right, in January, yeah. You belong to it, too?
Yes.
Do you remember Bill Robertson?
Oh, sure. I saw him last summer.
Yeah, he lives in Tacoma. He was just here last week.
Oh, he was.
He's the only one that I know.
His mother was from a Faulkner. He told me she was a Malouin.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But his dad was from Woody Island. It's too bad he commits suicide, you know.
His father?
I don't know why. I think he hung himself. What a horrible way to go.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us. We really appreciate it.
I'm always happy to talk with somebody. I don't know too many people because so many of my friends have passed away, you know. Right now I belong to an exercise group. I get to talk with them. Most of us are old and decrepit. And most of them just like that, worse than I am. But they told me the other day, hey, Nick, you're getting pretty skinny. And I went to weigh myself. Well, I'm still 665. I never change. But I told them, you eat too much. Your pot is too big. I think I told them, I'll bore a hole in your spoon.